Howdy, partners. It's Wednesday. You know what that means? It's time to round up these AI doggies. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of AI Roundup. Today, we're going to be talking about AI bigwigs headed back to Washington once again. Plus, Google is diving all the way in on AI. And finally, we're going to take another look at ChatGPT with the power to plug it in, All right, y'all, what's up? I'm Phil Buck, and I am here for your AI Roundup for the week. And we've got a ton of great stories we're going to talk about. Well, first of all, we've got the CEO of OpenAI headed to Washington to answer questions about regulations on AI. Plus, Google's event is jam-packed with AI technology. And we're going to play around with ChatGPT for our use case today because they just released the beta of plugins for everybody that has ChatGPT Plus. It is going to be really fun, and spoiler alert, I used it to write this whole episode, so let me know what you think. But with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into our first story of actual impact that AI is having on us today. All right, first up in a story from the New York Times, the CEO of OpenAI is headed to Washington to talk regulations on artificial intelligence. And this story is kind of a callback to last week's episode where we talked about many different leaders in the AI field heading to Washington to talk to the Biden administration. The overarching theme here is that, you know, obviously the AI splash has occurred. All the headlines have happened. Everybody knows about AI. It's all we've been talking about for 9 or 10 months now. Luckily, I feel like the sensationalism of all this is finally becoming eclipsed by the concerns in a real way and not in a fear, uncertainty, and doubt way, as we talked about last week. You know, I think it's really easy to get scared and say, oh yeah, this stuff is going to be so terrible and it's going to ruin our lives and take away jobs and spread misinformation. All of that I think is possible, but I think just getting up in arms about it doesn't help anything. Now what we're going to see is people like Sam Altman going to speak in front of the Congress about, you know, what ways artificial intelligence should be regulated. I think this is what we need to see. We've talked about it several times before that artificial intelligence holds a ton of potential for revolutionizing the way we work, the way we live. I mean, all kinds of convenience and you know, just really just efficiency and power added to the way that we do things. But you know, that shouldn't come at the cost of a lot of things that I think people are worried about. We're definitely seeing AI take the place of a lot of, you know, different types of work, and we've always had the concern of misinformation, which we've talked about on this show before. And then I think the biggest one people are afraid of is, you know, the biggest boogeyman on this is like, don't give the nuclear codes to AI, you know, the plot of Terminator, right? But I don't get worked up and scared about those type of things happening right now, because I just don't see that the AI has the capability to do any of that kind of stuff. It's contained, but you know, the potential is there. So now that we're seeing folks like Sam and several other leaders in these AI companies going to Washington and talking about, hey, how should this be regulated? You know, we're moving in the right direction. I think 5 years from now, you're going to see that AI is all over the place. It's going to be in every single aspect of our lives. Now is the time that, you know, it's got to be put out there at the forefront of this development that, you know, how are we going to keep this from getting out of control? How do we keep it from being unchecked? And before we, you know, pivot on that, I do want to speak about that some more, but I want to respond to a comment on the last episode. Somebody said, you know, it's not the now that we're worried about, it's the later when it's being abused. I think they called me a traitor or something. Like, that was a little bit weird, but you know, to that point, I want to say that the reason that I wanted to do this show is so that we can all talk about it and do stuff like what's happening right now, where Sam Altman is in Washington talking to Congress. It's time for all of us to do that, you know, to decide the ways that we feel AI can be implemented in our life and the way that it is responsible. If whoever you were out there, I'm not going to name you because the comment was a little bit uncivil, but you know who you are. If you think that I'm a traitor against humankind or something like that, I'm not. I'm an enthusiast for AI, I think it's really exciting times that we live in, but the point of this show is to really discuss how do we do it right. I like to learn about it, not just to learn about it for the fun of it, but because by learning about it, that is the way that we're going to be able to, you know, do the right things with. So with that being said, AI is going to be implemented in every aspect of our life. And that's why I'm going to turn to the next story for our big picture story, where Google is going all in on AI. All right, so next up, Google's I/O event. It was, you know, typically it's a showcase of what Google's working on. You're thinking Android, you know, you're thinking smartphones, those kind of things. Well, this year was definitely different. In fact, there was really only one story that wasn't AI related, which was about a foldable phone, which had a price point of almost $1,800. So I will not be picking that up anytime soon, but there were so many announcements of the way Google was implementing AI in all of their offerings. I mean, it was crazy to see that this was definitely the theme of the event. Let's take a look. This is from Gmail's new AI-powered Help Me Write feature to Google Maps Immersive View for Route. It's clear that Google is going all in on AI. The company also unveiled its new AI chatbot Bard, powered by Google's latest language model, Palm 2. This is very exciting. Google is shifting toward an AI-first company, and this is a pretty big deal. We've seen it with Meta. Basically, the namesake of the company now, the Metaverse, has been abandoned, and the new shiny object for Zuckerberg and company is large language models. The Lambda model is making a lot of waves out there, and Google is not going to be outdone. In fact, looks like they are definitely moving toward one of the pillars of their company being AI technology. So some of the features that are included in this is Gmail will write emails for you with smart reply and smart compose features. AI is going to be powering Google Maps for an immersive experience. Basically what this does is it transports the user into a digitally created model of what their exact route will look like. Users can even travel along the route in order to spot landmarks and stops along the way, and this feature is reportedly coming to 15 cities by the end of the year. Lots of features for Google Photos, new ways to find photos, a Magic Eraser with Magic Editor, and one that was really interesting, it gives you the ability to move individual elements in a picture. So not only is it going to use, you know, a smart subject finder, so if there's a person in the picture, it can locate that person so you can move them around, but it looks like they're also using, you know, AI image generation to fill in the background. Of course, we talked about this on MSP Dispatch earlier this week. Google searches are going to be using AI power as well, so they can converse with you, give you results related to all the Google search tools that you're already used to using, like shopping and that kind of thing. And I don't think Bard is new to most people. I think a lot of people have had the chance to use Google's chatbot Bard, or at least heard about it. One of the big announcements here is that they are now using a newer large language model called Palm 2, and it's an upgrade to the language model Google released in April 2022, which was called Palm. The new model is reportedly fluent in over 100 languages, including multiple types of code, and has received math, logic, and reasoning upgrades as well. So, I have not messed with Google yet. In fact, this relates to our next story. I've almost exclusively been using ChatGPT as my go-to chatbot. If you're using Bard, you know, sound off in the MMN Discord. I'd love to hear your experience. I know there's definitely some folks in there that have talked to me about some of the open source models that they've been playing with and implementing on their own machine with like Ooga Booga, I think. So yeah, I'd love to hear more about it. But that does lead into our next story, our use case for today, where they just rolled out plugins for ChatGPT, and I went in on it pretty hard today trying to see if I could use some of the features to write the format for today's show. So let's check it out. All right, I'm probably dating myself by using this reference once again, but hopefully a lot of you in the audience are of the same age range as me, because ChatGPT is ready to plug it in. I don't know why that sticks with me for, you know, 20 years, that little jingle. I won't be able to remember my pets or my kids' names, but when I'm on my deathbed, I'll be able to sing that Glade plug-in jingle. Anyway, this is exciting news. This has been announced. In fact, we covered it on the show over a month ago, that there is going to be the release of a new feature in ChatGPT to use plugins, which gives you the ability to use a whole bunch of services you're already familiar with. Some of the notable ones: Instacart, Wolfram Alpha, Zapier, OpenTable, more and more. I mean, there's so many. I wanted to play with it live on the show. It's kind of a test run, but there's so many. I mean, I just had to sit and work through it. So for my use case for today, what I did is I used WebPilot. It's a plugin that, you know, finally takes the shackles off ChatGPT a little bit. It has that knowledge cutoff in 2021, I think September 2021. So now if you're using WebPilot, what you can do is give it specific links, or you can actually even tell it to go search, which is what I did to start the show. I said, hey, this is the format for my show. We use three different segment types: the actual impact, the big picture, the use case. I want you to search the web for stories about artificial intelligence, and I want you to fill in the segments for the show. And you know, it did it. It took a while. It takes a really long time when you let it to go search the web. In fact, I think it opened up maybe 12 different prompts where it was going to search the web for me. I had to wait a really long time to get any results. And I, you know, maybe I needed to spend some more time fine tuning this, but the results I got, you know, most of the stories I didn't want to use for the show. I did use its suggestion for the story about Sam Altman because I did think that was a good chance for me to talk about some of the importance of what I think we're trying to do on this show. But I did change it up for the big picture. I picked out myself as well as the use case, but I kind of already knew I was going to be using that because, I mean, duh, here we are. But if you are a ChatGPT Plus user, they are rolling out the beta features this week. You may not have it yet, but make sure you go down to the settings once you've logged into your account. And you can look for the beta features. If it's been rolled out to you, you can turn them on, and then under ChatGPT-4, you can choose a dropdown and you can start using ChatGPT-4 with plugins. You can only use a total of 3 plugins at a time. Personally, I have not found a reason to break that limit. I was really only just using 1 at a time. But if you have some great ways of using this that you wish you could use more than 3, you know, let us know what you're doing with it. I'd love to hear it. It's super exciting. I've really only scratched the surface of this. I mean, I literally got access yesterday afternoon, and I was too busy to even play with it until I started prepping for the show. So it was a fun experiment to see if it could write the show format. I think I probably will spend some more time with it when I have a run out of my 25 prompts in 3 hours, whatever the limit is. But yeah, that was where I had to stop, is that I kept going through the show, see if we could get some good titles, some good themes for the show, and it eventually cut me off. So we'll play with it some more. We'll see if there's anything relevant for next week. And if so, maybe we'll be talking about it again. Until then, hit me up in the MMN Discord. All right. So as always, before we sign off for today, I would love to point you to some other events that have already occurred or coming soon on the MSP Media Network, starting with, in case you missed it, 38 at 38 with Karina Ramos. It was a very special Mother's Day edition of 38 at 38, where our host Aaron interviewed his mom. It was really fun. Please go check it out. It's a very special episode. We had a lot of fun with the way we shot that multi-cam for the first time in person in the studio, so I think you'll like it. And speaking of super special, coming up next week on May 22nd, live from MSP GeekCon, the Tech Bar is going to be happening in the building. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern on May 22nd. Make sure you mark your calendars. That's going to be a very exciting event. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Ray Rossini.
And I'm Tony Francisco, and we're the hosts of MSP Dispatch.
Every Tuesday and Friday, we'll bring you the news, community events, and discussions that are important to MSPs today. Whenever possible, we'll also include industry experts to provide their insight, and all within 30 minutes.
Available on YouTube, Pocket Casts, Spotify, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher in audio or video form. We're everywhere you want us to be.
We hope to see you next time on MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel.
All right, everybody, that is our AI roundup for today. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Phil Buck. And as always, I would really love it if you would join us in the MMN Discord, where we talk about all this stuff and we share funny, hilarious memes about AI and Clippy and so forth and so on. Make sure you follow us on social media at MSP Media TV, or you can leave us a voicemail at 833 MSP Network. And that's going to be our show for today. Thanks for tuning in. I will see you next week. Take care, everybody.